Peter Walker. And if I have time, I'll talk about some very baby ideas that I've been working on with Anson Hook and Jay Walker. You may be able to guess that Jay Walker is my supervisor. So I'll be talking about fishing lessons at the LHC from a theorist point of view. I guess I'll need to. So one natural question that you may ask now that the LHC is running is, can it cast a wide net on new physics so that, you know, if new states are within reach of the LHC, you know, within the reach of the energy that the experiment is running at, we will be able to catch it, to catch these guys. And so this is going to be the main subject of my talk. And towards the end, I'll talk about once you've collected as many fish in your net as possible, how do you make the most of the data? So this is my first time in Canada, and I was reading a bit about the country, and I guess this slide could have been replaced by the following. Again. Oh. So to me, this is a very nice problem. It's a very well-defined problem that lends itself to theorist involvement. And there has been a lot of work over the last years on these themes. Of course, when a theory is present, when a theorist is present, you expect alcohol to be in the picture, literally shown here. And so, well, we all know that the LHC has opened up the energy frontier. So here is a short summary of what has been done so far. So it's expected that the 2011 run will conclude with roughly 5 inverse centibarns of data collected. So let's see. This is what they had accumulated by the end of, by the 27th of September, a week ago. They had delivered that almost 4 inverse centibarns of data. So it seems like they're on track to miss this number. I think they will be shutting down sometime soon so that heavy ion collisions. Sorry? OK. So from what we've heard, or it seems like the particle physics, so it will resume again in 2012 and run at a still unknown energy, center of mass energy, through the end of the year. And I guess last news I heard is that there will be a shutdown after this run ends to retrain the magnets and hopefully bump up the energy to close to the design energy, 14 TeV. The experimentalists have done a great job at understanding the inner workings of their detector. Searches have been performed really quickly. I was impressed that from EPS, from a conference in July, to Lepton Photon, I guess they were able to double their data for some of the analysis. This was less than a month time. There has been an attempt, and there has been a lot of work by the experimentalists to have less model dependency in searches. And this is going to be one of the topics that I'll be focusing on in this talk. So you may know that so far no discoveries. In the absence of discoveries, you're able to place tighter bounds on new physics. For instance, these are results from EPS and Lepton Photon 11 to conferences from the summer. And these are searches. So these are heavy flavor searches. They looked for, you know, one or more B-jets plus missing energy in the final state. These are some of the standard searches. These were searches where they were looking for gluinos in association with stops or spottoms. One thing I just want to emphasize here is that you need to be careful about your interpretation of the results, and more on that later. So this is they were looking. So the limits are on.
Search
region.
Like they were looking for 4 jets plus missing energy, or?
So here they look for 1 lepton, 4 jets, and demanding one or more BTEX. And in this, I guess, well, you may not be able to see, it's a zero lepton search, three jets, and I think one or two BJets in their final analysis, which makes sense. Here, you're looking for bottoms, and here, you're looking for stops that, yeah. So today, I'll be talking about three ideas. Well, it's actually two. Simplify models and the prospects for the 7TB run in this framework. And if I have time, I'll focus on finer jet observables in towards the end of the talk. So let's begin. So there's a need for less model dependence. I guess over the last decade at the Tevatron and still at the LHC, standard searches for jets, missing energy, et cetera, usually, so they need to optimize their searches with respect to some benchmark, right? And a popular assumption that was made was, okay, let's say you're looking for the supersymmetric standard model. Let's make assumptions about the SUSY breaking. So you fix so what's called the M-SUGRA parametrization. You make certain assumptions at a high energy, say the Gauss scale, the scalars unify at the Gauss scale, the premiums, so forth. So you fix these guys at a high energy, then you run them down via renormalization group equations, and you get a low energy mass spectrum. Now, this seems like a very elegant assumption. However, it does imply that typically, say, if you're looking for gluinos that decay, you know, into other stuff, it typically means that your gluino is about seven times as heavy as your lightest supersymmetric particle, typically a Beano-like object, and your gluino is two times as heavy. So in this space, this is a consequence, and needless to say, that may be too limited in scope, given that, you know, nature may not have chosen this to be realized. And so it's common to see searches, you know, the final results be presented in a subset of this parameter space in this as a function of M0 and M1/2, and you see a limit that the experimentalists were able to place. But so I just want to say that's a fair approach, but there also is a need to, you know, do other things in your search strategy so that you consider a more global approach. So okay, let's take an example. You do a search, you know, you're looking for some new states and you're optimizing with respect to M-SUGRA. It means that your final search regions, you know, will give you high signal to background ratios for new physics spectra like this, you know, your gluino. Let's say in this case, the quarks are assumed to be high up above the gluino mass. So the gluinos decay via off-shell quarks to a charged state, a charged Gino state. And this guy decays to to the LSP of the theory with a W produced along. So there is a large mass splitting, again, because there's this consequence in the spectrum of the gay genus, there is a large mass splitting between the gluino and the charged Gino, and that means that you end up with very energetic jets from the gluino decay, and typically large missing energy. So, okay, your search region will do very well at covering regions physics like this, but what if the new physics that's lying there is really more compressed spectra like this? What if these guys are closer in mass than what you previously thought? This is a very difficult signal to look for, and you typically end up with softer jets because the mass splittings are smaller than your typical M-SUGRA picture and less missing energy. So there comes in the idea of simplified models, and this is a subject that Philip and Natalia have done a lot of work, and they've played a major role in the CMS experiment, in the LHC experiments, taking up this notion of simplified models. So, okay, so let me just say what these are. It's a very simple idea. So a full model, if I can use the word full model, these are created to solve problems or demonstrate a mechanism. Now, a real model, they tend to be complicated, but if you focus on a specific signature, if I'm looking for leptons, for a lepton that's emitting energy in your final state, most of the details from this model, from this full model, are not very relevant for the specific signature. So think of how the MSSM was born. Say the mechanism that stabilizes the mass of the Higgs. There arose a multi-dimensional parameter space model to address such an issue. So a simplified model, the working definition I'll take here is that, okay, take a full model, strip it, just keep a minimal particle content and only a handful of free parameters, just keep the particles that are relevant in the signature that you're looking at. We will see that you can use these simple models to translate limits. You can present results in a useful way so that they can be translated into other theories by keeping only the particles and couplings that are relevant for the search region. And we will see that in specific corners of a simplified model space, you can actually see the behavior of specific models like MSSM spectra, I guess M Zucker-like spectra, where you typically have white spinnings here in the final state versus universal extra dimension spectra where you have more compressed final states. And I think this will become clearer later. So over the past year, this was work with Daniel Alves and Jay Walker. Just a simple example. I'm not going to discuss this simplified model, but this is probably the simplest one that you can think of. If you imagine you extend the standard model by just adding two new states, you produce a color octet. So you produce a Gluino-like object, and that guy decays to a neutral stable state and this guy is the source of the missing energy in your event. Let's say this is the lightest neutralino is the LHC of your theory. And let's assume that stuff like quarks is high up above. So the gluino will decay via off-shell quarks. So you will get two quarks in the final state and the LHC from each gluino, and you will pair produce these. So what are the free parameters of the simplified model? Well, there are two new states, so they have masses that you don't know, okay? There is a production cross-section, and there is a branching ratio for this mode. I emphasize that the cross-section is a free parameter. For instance, you can imagine this as a statement of your ignorance about this quark spectrum. As you move these quarks in masses, you can cause order one changes in this production cross-section. So let's keep this as a free parameter, and by varying, you can imagine as you can think of, actually you're thinking about different models where you're varying the quark mass spectrum. So I've already talked about this. So in the last few months, the experiments have begun presenting limits in terms of simplified models, and that's very useful. In fact, just today, I think there was a summary by Atlas limits on simplified models in HEPEX. This is very useful, I want to emphasize that you can also use simplified models to see holes in your search regions, and so you can create and evaluate how good your search strategy for looking for new physics is. So I think this came out on the archive this a couple of days ago, or maybe last week. So Atlas did a one lepton plus, I forget how many jets, n jets plus missing energy search. They presented the results in a standard M Zucker parameter space, but also recasted the results in terms of simplified models. So in the simplified models, so these are quarks. These are quark simplified models. Let me just focus on the left here. You've got two Gluino simplified models where there are three new states. There's a Gluino, there's a charged state, and there's a neutral state. And the difference between these two models is that the relative placement of the mass of the charged Gino here is 1/4 of the way between the mass of the Gluino and the LSP, and here is halfway. So, okay, let's recast your limits in terms of the simplified models. So, well, it's not easy to see, but on the x-axis, you see the mass of the Gluino. On the y, you see the mass of the LSP, of the chi-0. And the red line is the observed 95% confidence level limit. And the contours are the cross-section limit for a given pair of masses. So once you make a choice for your cross-section, so I think in this case they assume that the cross-section, the production cross-section for Gluinos is given by just what you get from NLO QCD. If that's the case, then this becomes your limit on your theory, and anything to the left of this red line is excluded. You can see there are big holes in their coverage. This is something that would not have been obvious if you look at the M superparameter space. So this is one sense in which simplified models can be very useful as well. And no, this is the mass of the Gluino.
Okay. What is the y-axis?
It's the mass of the chi zero.
And so, if we choose M Gluino at 400 and
right here.
Yeah, and chi is at like 200.
Okay.
What is it telling me?
It's telling you that the search was not able to exclude this at the 95% confidence level.
But what is the cross section? It's very difficult to read. What is the cross section at which
Sorry, what is the cross-section limit?
The green one.
The cross-section limit, it's something, I think these are units of picoparts. So order 10 picoparts.
So you'd have to pump the cross-section of about 10 picoparts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question,
yeah.
Either? Okay. Okay. Let me move on.
So you're saying the entire green and yellow region, that would have not been obvious if we had not done the simplified model. Like in the answer graph, it's not clear that you're missing the simplified model.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So this has been so far, well, last few slides. Simplified models that decay into light flavor, up, down, charm, strange quarks in your final state. There's also a very optimistic signature. This is one of the standard searches that the experimentalists are interested in, is simplified models that decay into heavy flavor quarks, either bottoms or tops, in your final state, plus missing energy. So there may or may not be leptons if tops are involved in the final state. And this is work hopefully soon to be done with this fine gentleman. Let's see. So Beechets give a very powerful handle on standard model backgrounds and looking for new physics. So typically your B tagging efficiencies, you know, if you have a jet, the probability that it came from a B quark is order 50 to 60% depending on the transverse momentum of that jet. I think at the Tevatron these were order 30%. But I'm not sure. So you have a generic signature. This is a variable number. You can vary the number of Beechets, number of leptons. So what theory is to search for in this channel? This is not a one-to-one statement. There may be more than one theory that gives you that contributes to a specific final state. So okay, let's use a set of simple topologies to guide your search strategy and hopefully present your results in a way that can be translated into other theories. So that's our starting approach. And again, because this is such a broad signature, you can't just use one simplified model. You have to use a more than one number of them. So we consider two broad classes of such models. One are, let's say, the first class are Gluino-like simplified models where we assume that these quarks are up above. You can imagine just the, they're up above the Gluino mass. On the left is a subcategory where we assume that the Gluino decays into either tops, each Gluino decays into tops, bottoms, plus a neutral state. Here, again, the lightest neutralino is the LSP. So you can either decay via heavy flavor, you know, tops or bottoms, or light flavor quarks. On the left, on the right, we assume that there is a charged state that's above the neutral state, and so if that's the case, then the Gluino can decay into a top and a bottom plus this charged state. And this charged state will then decay into the LSB and a W boson. I emphasize that this is a free parameter, but we made one assumption about the spectrum of these two guys to simplify our analysis. The other category are squark-like, heavy flavored squark-like simplified models. So you either produce bottom-like objects or stop-like objects, and we assume that the decay modes available to these guys are, for this bottom, they decay directly to the neutral state, the LSP, and the bottom quark, and the stop decays via also directly to the LSP and the top. And again, so for this simplified model, the free parameters are the masses. You're free to vary these guys. There's a branching ratio and the production cross-section. So, we're looking at 12 simplified models in total. So we're distinguishing between pure topologies where, so you pair produce these guys and either a Gluino or a squark, and we call it pure topology when each of these guys decays in the same way. So in this example, each Gluino decays into a top, into tops and the LSP. And we also distinguish mixed topologies where say one of the Gluinos will decay via one mode and the other via a different mode. So there are about, so if you want to scan finally the parameter space of the simplified models, about 2,500 points in the model space, we are assuming that the, if you want that, we are assuming that this, that the charged state is just above the LS, the neutral state. So for our purposes, these guys are degenerate. If you want, you can assume that these guys live in some kind of approximate SU2 multiplet. So you'd like the experimentalist to use, you know, a set of simple models that ensures that you want to design a search strategy so that you will cover this. The space of the simplified models that I presented in an optimal way. And this is something that I will define soon. So we consider search regions or cuts of the form, you know, you look for a given number of jets, number of V-jets, maybe leptons, and you look at, this is the transverse energy of the event. It's the scalar sum of the transverse momentum of the jets in the event. And this is your transverse momentum or transverse energy in the event. Now we know from before that no single search region will cover a broad space of simplified models because the kinematics, as you vary those masses, you're living in different regions, they will vary widely. But you would like this to be practical, so you like to find a minimal number of search regions. Any questions so far? Sure, that's something that you could do.
I guess you're already making assumptions of the very particular topology.
Right, I guess we found that, well, it's something that we thought about briefly in the past, but my experience with MT2 is that it works well for very wide spectrum, but once you squeeze your spectra, because there is radiation that, once you compress your spectra, you have to rely on radiation. on jets from radiation to boost your signal, MT2 is not the most effective way to look for these signals. It's a choice, but I can't give you any.
No, but that's an interesting point, because MT2 is a pre-optimized variable for certain topologies.
Sure.
And you're saying that for the compressed spectra, it's in fact the worst choice you can make, or.
I don't know about the worst choice,
it's worse than just taking HMT.
Sure. I should say that we did try. We started the project thinking that we wanted to think of non-standard ways to search for these objects, and it's really difficult to beat HD and missing energy. I mean, we weren't able to come up with something that did better, substantially better than this. Okay, any questions so far? Okay. So we want to quantify, so you like to keep a limited number of search regions, a cut, and they are of this form. So how do you quantify how good a cut is? So we came up with this simple variable, just the efficacy of a cut I is just the expected signal limit on a given point in model space given by cut I divided by the optimal limit. So this is, if you were to sample very finely over all of these over this cut space, you can find the absolute best cut that you can find, and that gives you the optimal expected cross-section limit on your point in model space. So you're normalizing every cut with respect to the best that you can do. So this number is bounded below by 1. Right. Well, I mean, you bound this guy, so this is limited to 3 choices, 2, 3, 4, or more jets. So these are inclusive numbers, by the way.
That's right.
So yeah, sorry. This is.
So you literally compute the sigma optimal for every point.
Right, and it's. I think this is. So at the end, this was a space of 8,000 cuts.
Nice.
So. One of my collaborators is really good at drawing these really colorful pictures, so I'll take advantage of it. So pick a set of cuts so that when you combine them, so each cut will cover a sample of the model space very effectively, so you'd like to take the union of them, right? So a cut, say, if you start with 2 cuts, let's say you put in an arbitrary threshold, let's say, I'm choosing some critical efficacy equal to 2. So I would call a cut a good cut if it gives you an efficacy less than or equal to 2. In other words, if the expected cross-section limit is a factor of 2 or closer to the optimal limit. So cut 1 may work well with respect to this choice on a fraction of the model space. Maybe it works well for high-mass gluinos and low-mass LSPs. But it does really badly for this other portion of the model space. Cut 2, say, maybe may do something like this. It may work better on some other regions of the parameter space. So you would say then that these 2 cuts do a good job within this critical efficacy in this portion of model space. So you'd like to pick a limited number here that covers all of the model space that we consider. And so with that strategy, let me talk about prospects for the 7 GeV run. What time is it? I've spoken for 35 minutes? Okay. So by the end of, this is supposed to be 2012. So there is the ballpark number that you hear is that by the end of next year, the LXC experiments will have 15 inverse centobarns collected to analyze. So we studied the search regions, this set of search regions on the space of simplified models that I presented, and we'd like to pick a limited number of these and see what they can do. The lepton beans are, for those not in the know, this is the same sign dileptin channel, and this is the opposite side, the leptin channel. Just a digression. If you identify a cut or search region with a gene, a set of cuts then forms a person in this in some population. You can create a random population. You know, so these are sets of cuts. Each of these guys has some random number of cuts of this form. After some time, there's a notion of fitness. You can tell how good a cut is, you know, how many models in model space does it cover, and how many cuts does this set have, does the person have. So you come up with a notion of fitness, and you can get rid of the weak.
You kind of believe in social welfare, so I don't think we'll kill the weak.
Sure. Now, you'd like the guys that last after this elimination of the weak cuts to breed. So you randomly make, no, you just take the union of two sets of search regions.
Do you have people breeding with pigments?
Over time, you know that. Over time, some will mutate. No, some set of search regions. Some set of search regions that is so. Some set. This guy contains a set of elements of this form. Some of these guys will mutate, and after a number of generations, you'd like to be able to pick the fittest. So, again, just to I'll skip this. After doing this procedure, we found that, okay, there is a notion of how good you're demanding your cuts to be. So this is efficacy critical. Let's say, and this is the number of search regions, this is the number of fit people found after you run your algorithm. Let's say if your efficacy critical is 2, then we found that you typically end up with about 10 search regions needed to cover the space of simplified models. Within a factor of 2 of the optimal cross-section limit.
Did you actually randomize it and put some patients
with cuts? Oh, yeah. This was Jay's doing. He claimed, I think he did his undergrad thesis on genetic algorithms. So, anyway. The statement is that you should be careful to use this phrase when you're in front of Jay, because you may be up for a monologue on the subject. But yes. Let's see.
Sorry, Edward, this is a bit of a digression, but do you know what the efficacy, the sort of worst efficacy would be if you just used, say, the searches that have been done?
If you just use what?
If you just use the existing Atlas and CMS searches, or say focusing on the heavy flavor ones.
I don't have plots here, but I can show you afterwards.
What's the scale of it? Like, does it go up to 10? Is it 5 times worse than your equals 2k?
I think the worst that it gets is 5.
Okay.
But I guess in fairness to the experimentalists, we're not really comparing apples to apples when we do that.
That's true.
So.
But I mean, it's just a question of how much bang for their buck are they getting by implementing these 8 extra search regions relative to what they've already done.
I do have something to show. Not here, but I can show you afterwards.
All right.
Okay, sorry. We found, say, for a critical efficacy of 2, we found 9 search regions that were needed to cover the space of simplified models. So let's just go over them. I don't think, I can't see really the colors, but this is supposed to be green, I think. So let's break this into 3 categories. We found 2 normal light flavor search regions needed, and these are needed for topologies where the gluinos decay into light flavor jets. We found 4 standard, by standard I mean that, or normal, these are search regions that are not that different from what the experimentalists are looking at now, where you look for one or two or more B jets in your final state. And we also found a set of three search regions that have not been considered so far in published analysis that looked for three or more beaches. You can think of these guys as being useful for topologies where you pair produce gluinos, they decay into four bottoms. No, two gluinos give you four bottoms plus missing energy in the final state. So in contact with the Slack Atlas group, it seems like they seem to be finding that this claim is true, that these search regions, these low background search regions, can be very useful in giving you high signal to background ratios, root background. And we also found, we were surprised that we don't seem to need a one lepton search regions. Instead, we found that a same sign dilepton search region is useful. This, for instance, can be a good cut for you have gluinos decaying to four tops plus missing energy. Four tops can give you at most four leptons in your final state. And for spectra where the LSP is closing mass to the gluino, then you can rely on these same sign dileptons to optimize your signal of the background. Well, this is basically a background-free search, right? And we found this to be more optimal than, you know, for the kinds of topologies where you produce four tops in a final state. And when the LSP is...
You really are relying on the multi-top properties. Okay, so like for the stoplight case where it's just two tops.
Right.
That case, that five that you can do within, at least within two as well.
Right.
Well, he's not necessarily saying it's better. He's saying that it's at least within a factor of two comparable.
That's true. I guess that in general, I'm uncomfortable with the theories thinking about these candles because there are a lot of fake rates involved, but. This is basically, you know, if you look for a BJET and two same sign dileptons, this is basically background free region.
Yeah, so actually, Atlas has in one of their dileptonic top, I think it's Atlas, in one of their dileptonic top papers, they have a 3D tag bar in a plot.
Okay.
So it'd be interesting to check whether your Monte Carlo roughly is, you know, getting most of that. I also don't understand where their 3D rate is coming from.
Right.
That's separate stuff.
I mean, we've checked that when there is a real source of that same sign dileptons, like dying Rosen production plus jets, we do A-OK.
Uh-huh.
If you want to estimate fix from PGS.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about the same sign. I'm worried about the 3D.
Ah, sorry. I guess there is a... interested if you can show me the reference afterwards.
Sure.
So let's use this set of search regions, nine or so, and well, this is kind of outdated now, but let's assume you've collected an inverse centibar of data, and let's just look at two of these topologies, four bottoms or four tops and final state, and let's look what you expect. This is, as a theorist, you can only say what you expect to cover. So this is what you expect the LHC experiments to be sensitive to at the two sigma level. So let's focus on the topology on the left, four bottoms plus missing energy. On the x-axis is the mass of the gluino, on the y, the mass of the LSP. The solid, so these are contours of the estimated cross-section limit on the signals. And if you make a choice for a cross-section, let's say if you assume that you produce gluinos with a cross-section equal to just the NLO PCD one, then the solid black line becomes, anything to the left of it becomes what you expect the LSP to be sensitive to with this amount of data. And if for white mass splittings you expect to be able to cover above 800 jet in gluino masses, I should say this is very dependent on your assumption on systematic errors. We've assumed that our systematic errors scale with the number of BJETs in your final state in your channel. So for search regions with one or zero or more BJETs, we assume systematics of 20%. For two or more, 40%. For three or more, 60%. This is from.
There's not data on this.
Sorry?
There is data on this now.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we got this from a private talk with the Atlas, with the SAC Atlas folks. But yes.
Just to check, this is all the search regions combined.
Yes.
And what search region does best, out of curiosity, for the squeeze case?
I don't know offhand. I can show you afterwards. Okay, and just as a reminder that the cross-section is a free parameter for simplified models, if you scale the cross-section, maybe you're saying, maybe you have a friend or an enemy that believes that nature has three copies of blue nose, that the right theory of nature predicts three copies of these color objects. So you bump up the cross-section by a factor of three, and this becomes your new estimated sensitivity estimate for the LHC. Or you might say that your ignorance about quarks, the masses of these quarks, which you assume to be of shell, can mean that you can scale this cross section up or down. There are spin correlation effects from that, but those have been shown, or those are believed to be small. So it's basically, if you move up the quark spectrum, it's basically just bumping up or down your cross section by a constant factor. Any questions? Okay. So, okay, this is a summary of this part of the talk. I shouldn't expect the search regions to be used by the experimentalists. We have relied on theorists attempts at understanding the LHC detector using what's known as a pretty good simulator software, PGS. This procedure would have to be validated by the experimentalists. This is not an easy task because they use a full detector simulator, and this can be very slow on 2,500 model points. I think if I'm correct, I think it takes a minute per event, usually for my
model. You know, Atlas and CMS do it differently. Atlas may insist on full simulation, and then it is like, they have fast simulation. It's like a second.
Right. But I guess at least the SAC Atlas group found some friction in doing this approach. But anyway, that's beyond. So we found from our work on light flavor simplified models, the experimentalists were interested in, you know, us telling them what points in the simplified model space are representative of the combined model space. So perhaps a good means to talk between theorists and experimentalists are benchmarks. Now, you may say, wait a minute, wasn't this person advocating for using simplified models as a substitute for benchmarks like M-SUGRA? That is true. But it's also a true statement that points in the space of simplified models can look alike. For instance, typically, points with the same mass splitting. If you vary the mass of the Gluino, for instance, and the mass of the LSP, but keep this mass splitting constant, those points in regions where radiation is not important can look very alike, because you have delta dictates the amount of energy available to the final state jets. And so we found that we picked, we needed 60 kinematically different benchmark points from the space of heavy flavor simplified models from the space of 2,500 points. When you optimize just with respect to these 60 points, you get the same 9 search regions. And so that's our main takeaway message to the experimentalists. And I just want to show what the, I guess this isn't really your question, but so we found a set of search regions. Let's focus on the four tops topology and missing energy. We found that at 1 liter centibarn, you need really 2 search regions to cover this space within an efficacy of 2. One we found was a 1 digit inclusive jet plus 4 jets that covers the high mass region of this parameter space. And for more compressed spectra, we found that the same sign dielectric search region was gave a better handle on signal.
Sorry, I didn't understand the colors.
So these are just the color parts are the points in this map space where you cover with an efficacy less than or equal to 2. with this cut. Okay, at this point, I have reached the 50-minute mark. I can stop here. Okay.
So you started at quarter to.
Okay. So I like to move on to this is going to be an orthogonal, well, somewhat orthogonal direction, but to me it's a theme that should be explored in parallel, and it's being explored in parallel. So simplify models are great at casting wide net for looking excesses. Maybe I think of this as a global approach. You know, you're hoping to cast your net in as many places on the sea as possible. There has been a lot of work in more, you know, once you've caught fish, okay, you like to make the most out of this fish. There has been a lot of work in that subject, and for instance, you may try to understand from the data collected, you may try to understand your backgrounds better to lower your errors, or say there has been a great deal of work from the theory community on the properties of jets, jet substructure, for instance, when you look inside the contents of jets. The LHC detectors have allowed us to do this. For instance, topics like jet substructure, because of the finer granularity of the detectors, and there have been applications of this in, for instance, in searches for boosted Higgs and in top tagging. So I'm working with another grad student of Jay, Anson Hook, right now on two questions that I think fall into this realm. One is, can look into the origin of jets. So a jet is a spray of, well, this is something that maybe I should have defined for just purposes of being thorough. So so a jet, we think of a jet as maybe, okay, it must have come from a quark or gluon at quantum level. Can this knowledge, if you know this, can this help us in maybe reducing backgrounds and maybe looking for new physics? And the other topic that I'm exploring is the notion of jet masses at the LHC. Well, we're very interested in studying this. The first question in backgrounds, are the masses from jets from radiation uncorrelated or not? And can we use jet masses as a handle of new massive states, maybe as a substitute for standard searches where you look for visible energy and missing energy in the final state? So I want to convey a very subtle message that this is very preliminary work. So I'll just talk about jet masses. And so if you have a massive Spartan, let's say you have a gluon. Sorry, I can't really draw curly lines in Keynote yet.
Jaxadrome.
Okay. With a minimal effort. Okay. So you can have a gluon that, if you can think of this Parton gets a mass that gets generated by radiating, say, in the Parton shower. So what we think of the jet mass is the, you know, once you come up with a jet definition, that so you capture this in a jet, the invariant mass of a jet, you know, you measure the energy and the momentum gives you the mass of the jet. So for massive particles, let's say if you have a standard model top, they decay to, say, in this case, it decays hadronically to a bottom W goes into quarks. Pick a suitable jet definition, and you hope that the mass of the jet will be close to the mass of the top. Now, there was a set of measurements and published work by CDF earlier this year. They did some measurements for QCD digit events. I guess the general assumption was that jet masses are uncorrelated. So again, they looked at QCD digit events. And well, they set out to see if this is the case. I think this is, they were also looking for boosted tops. Is this, Natalia, where they claim that they saw an excess?
Is that?
Okay, anyway. So they maybe it's not obvious here, but they look at four regions A, B, C, and D. I guess A is, well, I can't really tell what they are, but it's basically they're the portions of some square. So you like that, so this ratio. So I guess, so I think this is region C. Region D is diagonally opposite, and A and B are diagonally opposite of each other. If these masses are correlated, so this is, they're plotting the mass of the jet, of the leading jet, and the mass of the sub-leading jet. If these jet masses are uncorrelated, you like this ratio to be roughly one. However, they found that they're not quite uncorrelated. If you quantify things in this way, you may say that there's a 10% correlation. So we're studying jet mass correlations in multi-jet events. So we're focusing on Z plus jets, where we assume that the Z is going to nu nu bar. So this is an invisible signal. Nu nu bar is just emitting energy of your event. So we assume that, okay, what if you parameterize the mass of the jet as there's a one-point function. The mass of a jet in a multi-jet event, there's a one-point function. There's also a two-point function because that jet may talk to the other jets in the event, and a three-point function, and so forth. Here, this function may be is assumed to be a function of the transverse momentum of the jet in question, the transverse momentum of the other jets in the event, and the radial distance between the jets. This is the azimuthal angle, and this is the pseudo-rapidity, which is related to the polar angle. Okay, let's set out to estimate the one-point function. You look at Z plus one jet events, exclusive events, and we find that it agrees with what you'd expect. If you look at any standard book in the subject, you expect that the one-point function, it should scale with BT. Now, you move on to look at the Z plus two jet events. So this is let's say the Z has decayed here into your new genus that give you missing energy, and these two jets are coming from radiation. So, and we set out to measure, to try to compute, to estimate the two-point function. So from these kinds of events, I should say, so we hacked PGS. I guess this is now the pre-release PGS version now. We modified PGS to do Kamich-Aken and anti-KAT. So this is with a jet definition of 0.4. And so this is the two-point function normalized with respect to the one-point function as a function of, this is the PT of the jets whose mass you're trying to measure, and this is the PT of the other jet. We find that this two-point function is larger than what we thought it was going to be for cases where the jet in question is much softer than the other jet in the event. These correlations can be quite, this ratio is order 0.4. And so, I guess, in the past few days, we've been trying to understand this behavior, and I think we're close to understanding it. So, for cases where the PT of the jet in question is less than the PT of the other jet, these are cases in this region, we found that the main effect coming from, okay, so this is a very hard jet, and this is a soft jet. The main way of these guys to talk to each other comes from, okay, maybe if you think of these guys as being gluons, again, so sorry if we're not using curly lines. Maybe this guy radiated a parton, another gluon, that was captured in the jet definition of the soft jet. And we find that this just basic picture allows us to estimate this slope, which agrees within statistics with what we observed. The other case, when the jet in question is much energetic than the other jet, in this region roughly, there is a higher slope. we find that, okay, we think that we can explain this by assuming that the screaming jet split into two, and so the soft jet came from a splitting, from a hard splitting of the other jet. So, any questions on that? Okay. You may ask if these guys are really uncorrelated here. We don't know yet. That's something we're trying to understand if we're, no. Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. So this is not quite related to what I was talking about now, but the ultimately, I guess, we're curious if we can use jet masses as a handle on new physics, maybe as a substitute for standard searches. So let's just take the easier topology. Yeah. Yeah.
One minute.
Let's take the easy topology from this heavy flavor simplified models that we talked about, Luino decays into four tubs, you know, a lot of massive states in your event. And this is a 800 jet Luino decaying to 450 GeV LSP. This is a fat jet definition of 1.2, that's roughly the size of a top jet. These are backgrounds. So what you see are scatter plots of the masses of the leading two jets in the event, given this definition. This is what you'd expect your backgrounds to look like. And this signal, well, you can see that there is a sizable contribution. So again, these are the leading two jets near the masses of the standard model tops. So I don't have anything else to show you, but we're thinking of maybe using the ratios of the mass of the jet with respect to DP, with respect to transverse momentum to see, and it's still very preliminary, but it may be a good handle. It may be used as a substitute for standard searches, but I don't have any plots to show you that. I guess I did the same game for four bottom final state. This is your signal on the right, I guess, backgrounds. So this may or may not be promising something that we're looking at now. So I think I'm going to stop there. I was going to talk about cargo tagging, but I'll just stop there. So conclusions, the LHC has opened up the energy frontier. Nothing has been found so far, but discoveries may be just around the corner. It's important that the experiments look in many places as new physics may be hiding in previously unexplored corners. Simplified models provide a framework for casting a wide net in new physics, and I just briefly talked about finite jet observables and how this can provide a new handle. This may be able to provide a new handle on backgrounds versus new and a new physics. Thank you.
Before we take up questions, this announcement will take that speaker to dinner tonight around 6. So if you're interested in joining. Anyways, questions?
Meeting with David?
Maybe.
Yep.
Yes, or back in that corner. Any questions?
So there were a series of benchmarks from your group that got you at the Susie. That include all of the ones that you mentioned here, or
no? You mean the light flavor?
Yeah.
No, those are.
Okay, so they got the light flavor ones, but not the light flavor ones.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's the status of those? Like, are they using them? Did they already use them?
The light flavor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are being used. We thought that the analysis was going to be ready for left and for them, but yes.
I see. Okay, so this is a parallel group doing the multi-gens, basically.
Right.
But about simplified models, which are inspired by investigation of where
Nedjikonino. Sure, there are. David Shi has been looking at the model. I think he published a paper or two on that earlier this year or maybe last. But yeah, that's something that, sure, that's.
Yeah, and certainly the gamma, and gamma, as final states or something that at least CMS that's
supplements
out on all of them. Might have just done gamma.
Okay, let's do it again.
Thank you.